based upon respect and etiquette. This is deen. Only part is the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and how to implement the sunnah, also the adab, yeah, etiquette, how to implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These etiquettes we learn from those that have etiquette. One is you read from a kitab, one is a person stays with those that have these beautiful etiquette and adab in their lives, and this refines a person. As a Talmi rahmatullah alayhi in his khanqa in Tanabon, and people used to come there, then he would tell them that if you've come here to become a Sufi, pious person, then you've come to the wrong place. But if you've come here to learn how to be a human being, that through your existence nobody is given any harm, nor are you harmed, but if you are harmed also you overlook it. But through your existence nobody is given any type of harm, then that's a true human. If you've come for that purpose, then I can teach you how to be a true human being. So in this kitab there are many etiquettes over here, and we can't cover all of them in these few sessions that we have. The last time we discussed the etiquettes of loans. Today we'll do the etiquette of the telephone and cell phone. In our zamana, we know when it comes to using the cell phone, the telephone, what are the etiquette, the adab? Always speak clearly so that your message is properly relayed and the opposite party understands you. Speak clearly, speak loudly, the person can understand what you are saying. Not that every time you say, sorry, I didn't hear you, please repeat, come again, you were not clear. But be clear when you are speaking on the phone. One should use simple, uncomplicated language so that the opposite party does not have any difficulty in understanding. Number three, the caller should always identify himself or the company he is calling from. Also, one should clearly identify himself in leaving a voice message so that the person retrieving the message is not left confused that whose number is this, doesn't know who the number was from, who the person is speaking there. So identify yourself properly. He also, Hazrat mentions, if we have to be some elder or an alim, then mention also. Now he just phones, Salaamu Alaikum, Yusuf speaking. Hey, how's it, Yusuf? And he say, no, it's Mufti Sahab. Oh, maaf. So be clear from the beginning. So the person doesn't have to apologize later on. No, I didn't know it was you. Make maaf, sorry. So say nicely, so and so from Fahi, for example, Yusuf from Masjid al-Hilal. Person on chance, so and so person is an alim. So be clear in that way. If one receives an undesired call from a marketing or a tele-sales company, happens commonly, then one should inform the salesperson in an even tone that he is not interested in the products or services offered. Don't be rude to the opposite party in any way. They're also doing their work. They have to make a rosy also. So don't be rude to them. If one places a call on hold, he should continuously check whether the caller has been connected or not. Do not leave people waiting. One should not chew gum or eat whilst talking on the phone, as this may frustrate the listener listening to one chewing on the phone. Unless now it's a family member. So he can inform him, I'm just having meals right now. He says, no problem, I just need to talk to you. So he can understand now you are eating and you are going to be chewing on the line. But he's a family member, he won't get offended. If there happens to be a cross line, one should not listen to another person's conversation. We have nowadays, that we have 2-3 phones in the house and we pick up the other one, you can hear the conversation. It's not correct now. That a person, that now he eavesdropped. When you phone someone to discuss a lengthy issue, first ask if you may speak and whether the other person has time or not. If not, ask for a suitable time to phone. Very important. You don't start the conversation. Sometimes it's a quick question. Question is quick, but the answer is long. So tell that person now, I have something to discuss with you. What's the suitable time to call, to phone? When someone else phones for some work or to ask something, be brief in your answer. Do not go into lengthy conversations at the expense of the other person's time and money. Now you got something short to speak about and that person is going to continue speaking. And it's your airtime. Your airtime is going. So you should be careful about this, considerate. Especially for men now, there's no real socializing for men. We use the phone for work. Ladies, they got that panchayat line. They can carry on talking, family, children, the rest of it. For men now, we don't have time for all these things. Is anything we have to phone for? Is now just some work, something to inform, to find out, and that's it. One should not chip in But in whilst the other is speaking, he should wait until he has finished saying what he wishes to say. However, the person speaking should also be considerate. He should not speak so long, not giving the other person the opportunity to speak. So give him a chance also to speak on the phone. Many people, most of women, have the evil habit of speaking together. Subhanallah, they can do it. There is no benefit in this as no message is conveyed to the other party. Yeah, somebody mentioned to me one time also that Allah Ta'ala, why is the brain of men and women different? When men sit together and speak, then they have different boxes in their minds. One box may be of business, so they'll open that, discuss everything, finish. Once it's all finished and done, then there's a lull in the conversation. They'll start the next one. Then they start about cars or something, and how many tickets I got, and how many I didn't stop for. The rest of it will carry on. That topic is finished and there's a lull a little bit. They start the next conversation. Then men discuss like this usually. And they say they have little boxes. But the biggest box is a nothing to do box. They love that one. Nothing to do. And they wait to open that one and just sit in there. But the wife mustn't come at that time when I've gone. They said, what are you doing? I'm doing nothing. I'm doing nothing. This, yeah, be calm here. They also, I'm doing nothing. So don't disturb me. That box we love the most. And that's the box they don't like. That's the one now they want to throw away. And he said, when it comes to women, and their topics they have, they open all at one time. And they discuss it, from recipes to family to children, grandchildren, clothing, and everything. They can do it. Allah Ta'ala gave them minds like that. That is where we get confused in all that chaos of this. And then we don't know really what to do after that. Number 12, take into consideration the time you are phoning. It should not be too late at night. Like Munish Padeh Sahib, we say, Rahmatullah Ali people. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, Allah, wife gave birth. What name to keep? 2 o'clock in the morning, what name are you going to? And he also keeping name. Mufti Mahmud Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, somebody came to him and told him, Hazrat, I got a child, want some exotic name that nobody kept that name before. He said, what a child, keep Fir'aun then. Keep Fir'aun. Hazrat now, he says, you want some exotic name, nobody keeps Fir'aun. Keep Sahaba Ikram's name. Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. People phone all times. So take into consideration the time you are phoning. It should not be too late at night or too early. Yes, the emergency is different. Person now has to phone. Or too early in the morning. Nor at eating times, unless there is an emergency. Then a person may phone. Here our Hazrat explains also when he comes to phoning a person's sheikh. Then the nafs will make 1,000 excuses. Don't for now, he's resting. Don't for now, he's eating. Don't for now, he's doing this. The person never ends up phoning thereafter. The nafs now will play tricks like this. Now you're trying to be very, very over-considerate now for the elder, for the sheikh, for the ustaz. So you never make the contact. You never make the contact. And then the person now is stuck with that problem and he'll go through it. But he never solved it. Never knew the way out. So he never made the contact. Hazrat, once we phoned him also, so, and all that tension of phoning also, then I asked Hazrat, I hope it's not the wrong time that I phoned. The Mawana says very beautifully, that when a son phones, is it the wrong time? If I'm busy, I'll tell you I'm busy, and I'll tell you what time to phone. But you must phone. Whatever time you feel is suitable, that I may be free at that time, then you phone. If I'm busy, then I'll tell you. If I'm free, then I'll take the call. But you make the contact still. So don't let nafs and shaitan now overpower a person and feel now that the person is too busy. But that's the telephone. Etiquettes of the cell phone. One must inculcate the habit of switching off the cell phone before entering the masjid. Very important. Not on vibrate, but complete silent. No vibration also. Commencing salah or sitting in a ta'aleem program. Put it off completely. If one forgot to do so and the phone starts ringing, there was a slight movement, one should cut the call. Sitting in mashwara also, put it off. We can take the call later. We can answer the call later. We don't have to take the call now. Something is important. This is ala amrin jami'in. Quran Sharif speaks about ijtima'i amal. So when ijtima'i amal is taking place, we are putting our hearts and minds together, then nothing should distract us. That time, put all your attention over there. Sometimes you go even to, you have a consultation with someone, and you find you've got an appointment, now you're sitting there, and that person will take the phone call. And he's going on with the phone call. And you think, I phoned him and not come here. Because he gives more attention now to the people on the phone. Somebody sitting there right now, you should get your full attention. For example, in salah, one can cut the call by placing his hand in his pocket very quickly, swift movement. Put your hand in the pocket and cut the call. There's no need to break the salah. Yes, but he's carrying on and he's carrying on. The musical tones, which are absolutely haram, shouldn't be at all any musical tones on my phone whatsoever. This is now sin without any pleasure. Now you know parishan. Now he's going on and on. There, even the alarm tone, there should be particular also. We don't put any musical tone. When it comes to the phones usually and you put the alarm on, the default tone is a musical tone. So you should change it to a non-musical tone. And also, this ulama explained, don't put some nasheed over there or some azan or qirat. That too is disrespect now to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the phone will go on in the toilet and azan is being on in your pocket. Or some dhikr, some naat is being on, some nazam, the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. These are now asha'ir, these are salient features of sharia and deen. Use them now as ringtones. Even the wallpaper, we have wallpaper or screen savers or whatever on our phones. They have to put Madina Munawwara over there in the background. That should be in the forefront, not in the background. Madina Munawwara, the Kaaba Sharif, these are all things that are going to do with our iman. So these things we give due respect to it. To the extent Hazrat says also when it comes to our musallas, don't have musallas with Kaaba Sharif on it. Because we don't put it on the floor. There's a masla also that comes that if you have an animate picture, something of life. So if you use it as a doormat, example, there's some picture of something on it. So they say, although it's a picture, but because it's trampled upon, so it's quite overlooked. Although it's better not to have it. But if it is there, but it's given no respect, you tramp upon it, so it's fine, not a problem. So it shows now for that, because you're trampling upon it, it's not shown any respect, it's put on the floor, so it's quite fine to have something like that. So we can imagine now when it comes to a musalla with Kaaba Sharif, then we don't put on the floor. Madina Munawwara, we don't put on the floor. Musalla should be as plain as possible, so it doesn't keep the mind preoccupied. Plain musalla is the best, with nothing on it. That is the best, so you can keep your concentration. Your mind doesn't go into the design. So if the phone has to ring in salah, then very quickly, with the swift movement of one hand, you can put it off. There's no need to break the salah. If one allows the phone to continue ringing, his salah will be valid, but he will be guilty of disturbing others in salah. One is the phone ringing together, but that also is a person in salah reading a bit loud. That too is makruh. Whether his own individual salah in the masjid or his far salah. Now somebody next to him is standing, he can hear him. He says, Allahu Akbar, Subhanakallah, Alhamdulillah. Can hear him, although now he is so to say whispering, but he's loud whispering loudly. So he's disturbing the person next to him. His salah is makruh. So even he's going to ruku, or he comes up, Sami Allahu liman hamid, Rabbana, walakal hamdan kathira at-tayyib. You can hear him saying it. But that salah of his is makruh, disliked by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So it should be just laudable enough, loud enough, that he can hear it only. That's sufficient. Even he is doing his own namaz also, his sunnat salah. There too it should be just loud enough for him to hear it and not the next person. Or because he's disturbing others, his salah will be makruh. Even reading our Quran, reading our Quran Sharif also, because in congregation, in a public area, it should be absolutely inaudible to the extent that only I can hear it. There should be no voice coming out. Qiraat refers to when I can hear myself reading, not the next person must hear me. So I'm audible enough that I can hear my own Quran tilawat. Making my dhikr also in public, Hazrat says, you don't have to make dhikr loudly. I'm making my individual dhikr. It can be softly. That only I can hear it. That even the haram of Makkah Sharif too, I can make my dhikr. It doesn't have to be loud. Other silsilas, etc. has to be loud zikr. Ours doesn't have to be loud. It can be soft also, just enough for you to hear yourself. So even in your bedroom also, the wife is sleeping, the Aisha radiallahu anha, said Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so considerate that when he entered the house, he would make salam in such a voice, moderate voice, that those that were awake would hear him, and those that were sleeping would not be disturbed. So a zikr also should be like that. If I'm making dua also, my own individual dua shouldn't be so loud now that the person next to me can hear everything I'm making dua for. It should be just for myself that I can hear my own dua. So there's no need to break the salah with the movement of one hand, I can put it off. If the phone rings again, then two, one can cut the call. One should not break his salah to cut the call. Now, sometimes you go to some places and there are different people from different backgrounds, cultures, madahib, that might do some different things in salah, but we should stick now to what we learn. Like one person in the haram, Madina Munawwara, phone was ringing. So he took it out. And he answered the call. Salaamu alaikum. Salah, salah, ba'deen. I mean, namaz, I'll talk to you later. Salah is broken. You can't answer the call during salah. Now you might think, okay, this may be permissible. I can answer the call and tell him ba'deen. After salah, I'll speak to you, put it back in the pocket and he continued his namaz. Salah will break. You can't do that in salah. It is incorrect to utilize verses of the Quran Sharif. It is incorrect to utilize the verses of the Quran Sharif, the Adhan or Naat, as a ringtone. Since the purpose of the ringtone is to inform you that someone wishes to speak to you. Here our Hazrat says also, these things are all salient features of Sharia and Deen. Quranic ayat, Adhan, ringtone. Even frames also we put all over the house. All these things should be in our hearts. But now we put it on the phone, we put it on the wall. These things now, the Naat, the Muhammad of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the love for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, these things are supposed to be in the heart. Now we put it on the wall, put it on the phone became pious. Put it on the computer, my computer got so many kitabs, nobody will say the computer is an alim, or your phone is muttaqi. All these things must come in your heart. But now we're going to put it onto the phones. So there's another place to put these things. Put the normal straightforward ringtone. It is forbidden to use the words of dhikr for this purpose. Furthermore, the phone may ring in the toilet. This will be a gross disrespect to these great words. It is forbidden and severe sin to have a musical ringtone on one's phone. This is not permissible at all to have a musical ringtone. Listening to music, viewing films, pictures of animate objects, meaning pictures of things that have life, sports like cricket, soccer, etc. are forbidden and an act of sin. Taking photographs is an even greater sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person who will be severest punished on the day of Qiyamah will be those who take pictures and photographs. This is not permissible. Even our screensaver, to put our children there, grandchildren there, not permissible. To take any types of photos, not permissible. Now you might say, but there's some ikhtilaf on it. Some difference of opinion. Ulama have difference of opinion, like in the prawns masla. Our ustaz will give the example. Some ulama say halal, some say not halal. Well, the rest of it now, when it comes to other things people eat nowadays, when they go to this, what is this type of rings you get to eat? Calamari. This one, Hanafi is absolutely, is that permissible? Is that halal at all for us? We can't eat these things. Alright? So when it comes to prawns, there is ikhtilaf and difference of opinion. But calamari, there's no difference of opinion. Those things you can't eat. So there we can gauge now, my du'as are getting accepted, my salah, ibadah is coming right, because these things are not halal for the Hanafis. We can't eat these things. The only thing the Hanafi can eat from the ocean is fish. And what is classified as a fish. Ulama go into detail, fish is that animal that has a vertebra, it has a backbone, it has gills, etc. So those type of animals you can eat. Those type of sea animals that are permissible to eat them. But when it comes to the prawns, so my ustaz would explain that people want to eat it. He said, but there's difference of opinion. Some say halal, some say not halal. He says, if on the day of Qiyamah, if it had to come out, masla came out finally, now that it was not permissible. But then too, you went for it, now you can forget having it in Jannat. And if you didn't have it in dunya, now you can eat how much you want now. Allah said, not halal for you. So, what the safest thing is, refrain. Refrain, and in Jannah, Allah will give you more than enough. Photography also, this Hazrat has gone into much detail. And those ulama that gave the permissibility of photography have now to a great extent retracted. They have retracted their view. And when they said it was permissible, it was for necessity. That was their fatwa. It was for necessity because it's digital, etc. But what they did not consider, whether digital or non-digital, the end result is the same. The fitna will start, whether it's digital, captured on the phone, printed, non-printed, but the end result was still the same fitna emanated from there. And many things came out from there now. Many things came out from there. So to have these pictures is absolutely haram. Is that permissible whatsoever? To have pictures on a person's phone, etc. Is that permissible? So as I mentioned, those ulama that initially did say it is permissible have retracted right now. Then they themselves also do go on to YouTube. Those ulama, they give the fatwa in the beginning, after which the other ulama took on to that fatwa. So now they've retracted, you hardly see them in public anymore. And they stop people, no more selfies, no more pictures, no more phones in the masjid, the jalsas and the talks and the bayans, no more. They say, put your phone away. You can record it, but don't video it anymore. So as I say, if there is a legitimate ikhtilaf and difference of opinion, some say permissible, some say absolutely impermissible. For more than 1400 years, the Ummah said impermissible. Tarabi also we mentioned, for more than 1400 years, the Ummah said 20 rakats, now they change it to 8 rakats and 10 rakats. Now this masala also the Ummah is changing. For more than 1400 years, the Ummah was unanimous, the picture making is haram. Now non-technicality, they opened it up, we can see the fitnas now. We see the amount of fitnas. And we always say the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, pre-Islam, they were the best of sculptures, picture making, drawing. They were artists, they were. Because they used to make their own idols. So this was the hunar and the craft. This was with their hands. But so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who can compare to the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? They captured in the different riwayat the minutest description of the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But none of them ever understood that it was permissible now to make a sculpture of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or do a drawing of him at least. Let's capture his beauty till Qiyamah for the Ummah. None of them did it. Because they knew, not permissible. Although now no fitna would have come out from there. And the beautiful drawing and picture of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but they knew, not permissible. So none of them drew the Mubarak face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Although they could have done it, and they could have made millions of drawings like that and sculptures and kept it for the Ummah. But nobody. Nobody. So we can understand from this also that in this world, right now, if there is some legitimate, if we call it, our ulama say that there is no legitimate ikhtilaf. There is an error in giving the type of a fatwa. To say it is permissible, digital photography is permissible. But we don't look at now how it's captured, we look at the end result of it. What's the end result? What will happen with the end result product? That, upon that we give the fatwa. Whether there be any good or there be fitna. Yes, it might be permissible. The act itself, but the outcome will be impermissible. Based upon the outcome, we say, that which is halal is no more halal now. Example, the duf masala, when it comes to the using the drum. One side of the drum was permissible. In the time of Nabi alayhi salat, we used use it during war also, to spur the Sahaba ikram on to give their lives in the path of Allah. At the time of nikahs also, they had a one-sided duf. But look in the Ummah to which they were going now. From one-sided, became two-sided, and then a whole band. So they say, looking at what the outcome will be, so we say that initially that one duf also becomes impermissible. Because the people won't stop at one sided duf or drum. They will move on to something else. To saddan libabil fitna. To close the doors of fitna, we say not permissible. Close the door. Because the Ummah won't stop. They won't see T's and C's apply. They'll see the fatwa and they'll go for it. But they won't say now what's the T's and C's. So, as we say now, so in this world make some sabr a little bit. And ulama are saying, okay, those ulama, they say it is permissible. They say this permissibility that we have given for photography has now destroyed the taqaddus, has destroyed the sanctity of the Haramain Sharifain. Destroyed it completely. Person is going to the Rawda, and more than focusing himself, I'm standing before my master Ali Salatu Wasalam, the cell phone is coming out. At Kaaba Sharif also, to see the tajalli of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, he's standing in front of the Kaaba Sharif, in front of him. But he's taking a selfie of himself. He's supposed to become selfless. This is my Allah right now. But the whole Umrah has become myself, to document now my Umrah. The whole thing is to go there and forget yourself that you are a non-entity. You are nobody. As you mentioned last night, before you came into this world, you are non-existent. After you left this world, non-existent. In between, Allah Ta'ala has given you a very weak existence compared to His existence, that your existence depends on Him. You are like non-existent also. But through the cell phone now, I want to show everybody who I am. That I am somebody. See where I am right now. See where I am right now. Azan is doing iftari time also in the haram. And here also, instead of having kajur, the cell phone will come out. Cell phone, everybody want to capture. The whole Ummah has gone into this frenzy right now and uploading it. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Little Qurbani over here. Then in Jannat, Alhamdulillah, there we can take how many selfies you want. No problem. Jannat is yours now. You want to picture your family, children, everyone. Then you can take as much as you want to put in the big screen too. No problem. Here, little Qurbani. But it's so difficult now to keep it. Hazrat says, the amal of Sharia are easy. To do guna is, guna karna kaam hai. To break the command of Allah is kaam, is work, you got to do it. To abuse the eyes is work. To close the eyes is no work. But we want to do work. We want to do the guna and sin. That is effort. And not to sin is no effort. For a person to keep a sunnat beard is no effort. Whatsoever. But to remove the beard, to trim the beard is a big effort. But he'll do it every day. He'll do the effort of breaking the command of Allah. And no effort to keep the command of Allah, that he won't do. So the entire mizaj and temperament has become upside down. Keep the phone in your pocket. Don't take it out. Capture the moments with the heart, with the camera of the heart. So on the day of Qiyamah, Shaddul Azab, the worst punishment will be given to those that who will take pictures. The picture makers, photographers, they will get the worst azab on the day of Qiyamah. Playing games on the cell phone is a futile act and waste of time. It is necessary to refrain from it. Listening to religious talks and permissible naats are allowed, provided it is not accompanied by pictures and does not cause one to mustara or other necessary works of Sharia. Also games for children they are playing, if there is some image over there or a picture of an animate thing, something has life, and is not permissible. That is haram. If one phones someone else and is put on hold and music is played, one will not be sinful if forced to listen. Yes, we should take it off the ears. Sometimes you phone companies now and they're playing music. So take it off your ear and wait to see now whether the person is the answer or not. But if you have a company and you've got there a ringtone and you put people on hold, then it's your guna, your sin. All the people that are going to hear to the music that you put on there is your guna and your sin. The sin will be on the party who set the tone on the phone. However, the one waiting should engage in dhikr or tilawat to counter the effects of the music. That's why when you go in public also, we go to the supermarket. There, as far as possible, start your Yasin Sharif. So you don't listen to the music. Oh, take out your tasbih and read your fat kalima, so-called fat kalima. That for every time you read, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, yuhyi wa yumit, wa huwa hayyun la yamut. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. One time you read in the marketplace, Allah records for you 1 million reward. 1 million reward, 1 million sins are forgiven, 1 million stages in Jannah are raised for you. One time only. So person becomes a millionaire when he goes into the marketplace. Ulama explained, this you read in a masjid, you won't get that reward. This Sahaba Ikram were given this reward to spur them on now to leave the masjid and go to the marketplace, go and work a little bit. Otherwise, they would have sat the entire day in the masjid. Well, these incentives were given to them, that go and read this in the marketplace, to get so much of a reward. So engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person is standing in the line to pay also, sometime month end, the queue is long, so they don't become unmindful also, become ghafil. Now you're looking around. It's better you take out your cell phone, that time read some Quran Sharif. So you keep your focus, Focus at that moment. Read something over there and then you can move the line slowly. Oh, insan's instinct, he looks around everywhere. And the eyes will fall on haram things. So better a person now, he puts his head into his phone and reads some Quran or some kitab. So to counter the effects of that music and that environment, engage in dhikr or Quran tilawat. He should rather keep the phone at a slight distance from his ear, these musical tones. Just enough for him to hear when the music has ended. Those who own businesses should ensure that there is no musical tone on their side when customers are put on hold. Number 6, one is allowed to display the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say a person should desist from displaying the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any Quranic verse on the main screen. He should rather not do it. Although in itself it will be permissible, but then to not encouraged. And if a person has it, however in this case if he has the name of Allah, or Kaaba Sharif, Madina Munawwara, one should ensure that the phone is switched off when entering the toilet. It shouldn't be on. One should also not keep the phone in one's trouser pocket, as this will amount to disrespect. You got the name of Allah there on the main screen, and it's showing there, and you put it into your trouser pocket. If these texts are not displayed, but merely stored on the phone, Then it is permissible to go into the toilet with it and to keep the phone in the trouser pocket. It is incorrect for one to charge one's phone in the local masjid. If someone did so, it will be incumbent on him to deposit some money into the masjid fund. Don't do it for free. Now we are in i'tikaf, permission given to charge the phone, but at the same time put something into the lilla box towards the masjid. Have a habit of putting something into the lilla box. Because someone is paying for the wear and tear of the carpets, for the electricity, for the water that is being used. So Hazrat says, don't use everything for free. But give something towards the masjid also. If someone did so, it will be incumbent upon him to deposit some money into the masjid fund. A person in i'tikaf or a traveler may charge his phone out of necessity. However, as a precaution, he should estimate how much electricity was utilized and donate the money to the masjid. As for public places where facilities are allowed for general usage, one may charge one's phone. After charging one's cell phone, it should switch off the plug and remove the charger from the socket. Not to do so is wastage of electricity. So be particular about that. It is not permissible to record someone's conversation on a cell phone without his consent. That you can't do. We have apps now where we record every call. It's not correct also. The person is being informal with you, selling something, amanat is selling you, and you're keeping all the records. This will not be correct. Even ulama explain, if person is videoing now, or taking pictures in public, all is not permissible, but if he is doing it still, is it permissible for him now to make a video of anything in public without the consent of those people? Now you're taking a video in public, and that person now may be doing something not ideal. But you're taking a general video and he's captured on that. If he comes to know, he won't like it. He won't be happy about that. So, in reality now, you violated his right as a human being. You didn't take his permission. Even Google understands this too. Google, what they call it, Earth or something. Or whatever, navigation. That when they take the pictures now of the homes, etc. Even they will block out the number plate and the person's face there. Because they know it's a violation of his individual right. You can't just picture people in public. Even they know that. But the Muslim doesn't know this. He'll take out his phone, send them an i'tikaf, also it's a video now, people over here, or the Tarawih Salah, whatever it may be. You didn't take the permission. Qiyamah's day, you've got a lot to answer about. Person going for Umrah, sitting in the plane, public transport, whatever. Now he's taking a video. And in that, people are walking behind him. People are walking behind him. He didn't take their permission. And Allah is taking videos of them and he's putting on Facebook or whatever, TikTok and all these things over here. But the other people in public were there. You didn't take the permission. You violated their right. So a person will have to answer for this. If one is in the toilet and the cell phone rings, then it is best that one cuts the call. Don't answer the phone in the toilet. It is makruh tahrimi. It is makruh tahrimi. A person who is unclothed. He's unclothed. Doesn't have his clothes on. He's makruh tahrimi. Close to haram for a person to speak. In that condition. He's in the bathroom having a shower, or he's in the toilet. Now we know Western culture, when they go in the bathroom, they're singing over there. Now you can't go in the shower and sing naats. It's not a place to sing naats and nizams. Or the old numbers also, not permissible. Shower and bathroom, according to necessity, you do what you have to do quickly and you leave. Nobody goes there, although they call it now restroom. You don't go and take a rest over there. Before you have comics and Sunday Times magazine. That you relax in the toilet. It's not a place to relax. It's a shaitani place. Shaitan breathes over there in the toilet. So we do our work quickly and we exit from there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited idle talk as well as wastage of wealth. Therefore, one should use a cell phone according to necessity. If you are engaged in a conversation with someone and then your cell phone rings, seek permission from the person before you answer. As he has a greater right. You're sitting there now on the supper table, don't answer the phone from everyone. Or you're sitting in the car also. Now you're doing a whole business transaction and you've got people sitting around you. They're listening to all the figures and all the conversation. You should take their permission first. Because you're speaking to you first. Now you're taking away his right and his time and you are speaking to somebody else. Something important, yes. And as it says to, unfortunately, we're busy with someone and somebody will phone, we'll take the call. We won't take permission. We'll take the call. We'll answer the call. But if the wife phones, then they will cut it. Carry on cutting it. Then they phone it only. You know, I was in a meeting. Everybody else's call you'll answer. But her call you won't answer. Or she'll tell you, but I needed something. Needed some bread, milk, I'm so busy, you're troubling me. But then milk, bread and potatoes is for you. When you go home, then you make a noise. Said, how come no bread? But I phoned to tell you, you didn't see your messages. Only my message you don't see. All other messages, you will see it. It is highly disrespectful to text messages whilst another person is talking to you. Take permission if you have to. But don't now take up the phone quietly and you are texting after that. The phone should not be used in the presence of other people whilst engaging in a conversation. Yes, if all are sitting on the phone now, then it's different. But you alone now, everybody is talking. If you've got some important work, then excuse yourself and go elsewhere and do it. It is impermissible. And what's worse nowadays, you've got the earpiece. You're chatting away to him. He's nodding his head, but he's talking to somebody else. He's on the phone with someone else. And you thought all this time now you are talking to him and he's agreeing to you, but he's talking to somebody else. Sometime you're sitting in a public place. And next minute the person says, Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. So you make wa alaikum salam. Then he's chatting away. Oh, who are you talking to? Why? There's somebody on the line. Sitting with you, but he's talking to somebody else. It is impermissible to browse to the cell phone of another individual without their permission. It is impermissible. You took somebody's phone, are you browsing through it? This is not permissible. To hack into somebody's phone or to pick up his phone and to go into his archives, etc. is not permissible. Yes, husband and wife is different. Right? For the wife now, she should have open permission and access to a person's phone. You signed the contract, she qabil toha, you accepted her and all her different rights. She's a PI also. Once you signed over there now, that you're getting married, she's also a PI, private investigator. She's going to check all your records. She has full right to check everything. Yes, something now which is, private, confidential between you and a friend, or somebody is making mashwara with you, then obviously she can't go into those. That's his private life now. That's his private life. But yes, she has permission to check. Children also, then there is permission over there. If a woman has to answer her cell phone in a public place, she should not speak loudly, laugh, etc. She should speak to the point and ensure that others cannot hear her voice, because her voice is parda also. That's how we discourage women in public. They are now shopping in the supermarket, meet a friend. Don't show public affection, because women are something supposed to be concealed. Now they're meeting in the aisle and they're talking loudly and they are laughing, etc., etc., attracting attention. It's not permissible. Make salam quickly, we'll talk later. We'll meet later elsewhere. Is that a public place now for women to meet and to talk, etc.? So if she has to answer the call, public transport or somewhere, then very softly answer the call. I'll speak to you later. One should never flaunt one's sophisticated cell phone in front of others with pride. Don't flaunt your cell phone. Not everyone can afford it. And now it has become a thing now. In Salah also they put it in front of them. So don't flaunt the phone now. Keep it somewhere where nobody can see it. Don't attract people's attention because of your cell phone. Especially the masturat and ladies. They should not have bright colors on their cell phone. That attracts attention. Even their handbags and all too. Women supposed to be mastur. That's what they call masturat. Meaning they are hidden, concealed. They are gems. Allah Ta'ala wants them to be concealed. There are times where they can display their beauty, etc. Within the home, they are free. Outside the home, no. Now, Hazrat says, things are tipsy-turvy. Outside the house, now they want to posh up. Inside the house, now they are disheveled. Unkept. At the outside they want to dress up. But who are you dressing up for? You're already married. Dress up with the husband in the house. Outside when you go, you should be completely concealed. Not use the cell phone unnecessary while in the presence of any senior person, such as your parents, ustaz, or sheikh. Don't take out the cell phone there. Unless there is some necessity, you can take permission and then a person may use it. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, the etiquette to carry our lives out correctly, inshallah. Any questions in regard to this cell phone, anything pertinent? Anybody would like to ask anything? Calamari, is that part of the fish family? As you mentioned, I have to be classified as a fish. So when it comes to the prawns, there is a difference of opinion whether you can classify them as fish or not. Whether they have a backbone, whether they have gills, there's some difference of opinion in regards to prawns, whether they do have these features or not. So based upon that difference of opinion, some ulama say not permissible, some say permissible. When Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahimullah was asked also, So he mentioned very beautifully, he said the ulama of Gujarat say it's permissible because they live along the ocean. The ulama of UP, inland, they say not permissible because they don't have supply there. So he left it, now it depends where you stay. So as I mentioned, as the Hakim Sahib would say, rahmatullah alayh, there's so many things that are absolutely halal. But you want to go to those areas now where there's a bit of difference. There's a thrill over there now. There's a thrill over there. He says, what is absolutely halal, enjoy it. No problem. Make the best of it. Why you go to that now, which is prohibited, or partially prohibited, or there's a grey area? Why you live on the edge? For what? If you live on the edge, then slowly you will go into haram after that, because that won't be enough. Let's try that also. Let's take an example now. One is prawns. But we know when you go to this ocean basket, etc., then we say, let's try other things also. We're going specifically for this now. But somebody said, but you didn't try the other one. You didn't try this also. Just try it. You are there now. And then you get influenced. Then you will try it. And before you know it now, you're going into haram also. Not permissible. So there is difference of opinion. Whichever mufti we follow, then we follow the mufti sahab. No problem. So that is now, because the prawns is, whether it's part of the fish family or not, there's difference of opinion based on that. Jee, any other questions? Sending in which way? Just to forward messages. It should be particular. Whatever message he does follow should be authentic. Not just anything he heard. But should make sure that the message is authentic. Before you should have chain letters. Right, that if you don't do this, you don't forward this now to so many people, then some bala is going to hit you. Something is going to happen. Cat is going to die, or the mirror is going to break, or the ladder will fall down. So many years, bad luck. So all these things are not authentic. People come with funny messages nowadays. Person who will give the news of the sighting of the moon of Ramadan first, then he'll get this reward and that reward, etc. Alright, so there's no such thing like that. So it should be authentic things that we... And also, we can't have a BC list now. We have a BC, what you call it, a BC list. And we add everybody there. Whether he gave permission or not, we put him there. And every day now we're flooding his WhatsApp. He didn't subscribe to your BC. So you should ask permission. Sushi, depends what's that. Raw, if it's raw fish, permissible, it's okay. As long as nothing haram in it, then it's fine. But the Hazrat says also now, who wants to eat anything raw? It's all just, it's a hype that you didn't have it. How come? Like something is wrong with you. So, the way it looks also now, all right, looks like one pan leaf, I think, with it. Fish severed a pan leaf. I saw it a little bit here and there. It's raw. The best food in the world is our Indian cuisine. Those that now, even we find our Europeans and whites, once they tasted Indian food, already they have converted. As I say, even the Banyatu and the Hindu, everybody smells the Sikh kebab you are buying, already is a half a Muslim. If only I can taste it. Then you send him a little bit also, he'll eat it. And you tell the neighbor, don't tell anybody I ate the sausages, it was lovely. So all these type of exotic foods now take us to a different level that we want to try other things. We set aside, we have plain simple food. As we mentioned before, now unfortunately in our culture, food has become a religion right now. Has become a religion. It's become a cult. Food. Food is a necessity. We have to eat, that's it. But it's become such a thing right now among the ladies, masturat, even among the men also. So we should tell them, make plain food, we're happy with it. Don't make anything fancy. We're happy with the plain, nice food, the old recipes that we had before. Now, the types of foods they are making, etc. And then we know, after that food, everybody's keeping Gavaskar now. Everybody's keeping Gavaskar. They're having problems because the amount of ingredients and what they're putting in there. So keep it simple. No more. What are they taking? 4 minutes. So keep it simple. What are our kids going to do later on? They get so used to now to these refined types of foods, etc. They're going to go to a different level and a different level, and they won't get satisfied. It becomes a nafsani thing after that. Is that we're not eating now because We're hungry, we're eating for pleasure now. That eating for pleasure is in Jannah. That you'll get in Jannah, inshallah. Yeah, very important nowadays. Very, very, very important, my dear brothers. Nowadays we're having apps on the phone. That you send somebody a WhatsApp, it doesn't highlight this double tick. You don't know whether he read it or he didn't read it. So he has a third party application on which he reads the WhatsApp messages. It doesn't show that he read it. Now you left in the lurch. Whether he read it, he didn't read it. So the etiquette is that you reply. If it's a long, this thing, at least reply, wa alaykum as-salam, will attend to your query. So at least reply to it. Unless a person is traveling out somewhere, so getting a chance, but the least we can do is reply, wa alaykum as-salam, will attend to it, or noted, whatever it is. That is the etiquette. That person is waiting up for a reply. You haven't replied as yet, whether you've read the message or not. And a person feels now, because I have this app on my phone, so he doesn't know whether I read it or I didn't read it, so I don't have to reply to him. Don't have to. But Allah knows what you're up to. So the etiquette is to reply to him. And if you want to reply, then be honest, say, wa alaykum as-salam. Well, attend to it, or don't have time, out of town. We'll meet later, or reply later. And I do have the time. So the person has itminan. Don't cause unnecessary taklif to anybody. So we should reply to it. Also the salam, the salams. There's no salam in Sharia. Salam, S-L-M-Z. Put the entire salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Person replying can reply verbally or in writing also. Both are permissible. So he should reply to the salam also. And as we mentioned yesterday, when he comes to janazah notices also. Alright? We get on the phone, Hazrat says, nobody says inna lillahi anymore. We hear on the radio also, we don't say inna lillahi. We read the message also, we don't say inna lillahi. Go to Haramain Sharifain, they are meaning, making announcement after Farz Salah. That there be a Salatul Janaza. We hear Salatul Janaza, but we don't say inna lillahi. So it's just become like a norm now. Message came, just carry on browsing through it. Right. So in your capacity, does you call him back too? If he wasn't able to answer the call, then call him back or send him a message, a voice note, a clip, whatever it is, inshallah. Always think good of the next person. Sometimes we get upset, we don't know what's his condition right now, why he couldn't answer the call. Possibly he was in the hospital, something happened, he wasn't able to take the call, etc., etc. Yeah, if they do that, like example, some bayan of an alim, etc., but they cover the face, then in itself that will be permissible because you can't see the person, whatsoever. You hear him all to the voice, you're not seeing the person. So that will be permissible, but obviously now, to follow an alim like that, that comes onto this type of platforms, is questionable. As we mentioned now, these things we knew for more than 1400 years were haram. Explicitly haram. We're telling the ummah for the last 50, 60 years, get rid of the shaitan box. Don't bring it in your house. Now what do you say? So now you can buy it, you can listen to the bayan there. Everything is there now. So Allah Ta'ala saved the ummah, but where and where is going to go to right now? You see? That's why we said before that our entire iman is upon the unseen. Now we want to see everything. We want to see it. Sharia has become now no more hearing is believing, that you have to see everything now to believe it. The masajids have cameras also, you can view the alim that is speaking. So all these things are impermissible. And is that needed also in Sharia? There's no need for it. Ulama explain, one is da'wat. We are not mukallaf. We are not obligated for the hidayat of mankind. We are not obligated for the guidance of mankind. We are obligated to make the effort of hidayat. I can't give you hidayat. That now by going onto these platforms, people will see and they'll come towards deen. But what kind of deen are you bringing them to? We don't call that deen now. Deen, as we mentioned, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was anyone to capture, he should be captured already by now. Allah would have given him all these apps and all these platforms for the deen to spread in the world. But deen is based on mujahada and qurbani, sacrifice. That you must move to be seen. Not just at one place and people see you. But the Sahaba-i-Karam were moving in the path of Allah. This is a system of hidayat. So So the alim and the da'i is not mukallaf of the hidayah, he's not obligated for the hidayah of mankind. He's obligated to make the correct effort of hidayah for his own salvation, not for the salvation of mankind. Allah will give hidayah. You've got to make the correct effort. You've got to make the correct effort. Otherwise, what will happen, they say, the deen will become entertainment, which has become now. Hazrat says also that even we're sending out bayans, that we don't even leave the bayan in the original form. Now we put sound effects in the back. Put one naat and nazam over there. There's no more the bayan as entertainment now. Now we're getting so used that bayan must have these features and the sound effects, you know, to stir your emotions up, etc., etc. Deen is simple. Inna deena yusrun. Deen is simple, straightforward, easy. Leave it like that. Otherwise, the entire deen now is going to become entertainment. That's what it's going to become now. Now to listen to Quran and Qiraat also will become dry when you see the Qari reading. When you see, so that has become entertainment now. And then the young boy too wants to become an actor now. He wants to read like that, hold his ears and hold his face and all funny things now. Because the whole of deen has become entertainment. So deen is not entertainment, deen is something which is serious. Hazrat says to, like an example he gives, that two people were boarding the train in India. Two intellectuals, so to say, Roshan Khyal, intellectuals. So they bought the newspaper and they bought some peanuts. They said, Chalo, let's buy some peanuts and our newspaper. We'll sit on the train. There were a long journey ahead and we'll discuss some masail, some fatwas. So Hazrat says, fatwas and masail, that peanut talk. It's got to do with the ulama ikram. You can't start discussing these things over newspaper and peanuts. These are big things you're talking about your akhirat. About your akhirat and your jannat and your iman. So this now, the whole move right now in the world is to give deen-e-Islam a facelift, basically. Give it a facelift. Make it contemporary. What does it mean? That the original deen can't fit in this zamana right now. It's a bit backward, na'uz billah. People have been saying this. This belongs to a camel age. So people don't realize and understand we're getting caught in this entire concept that we have to update the deen right now. Give it a facelift. What was the original doesn't fit now. You have to go with the times. The sunnah is still the day of Qiyam. The tariqah and the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is final, definite, there's no need to change. It will be the best way till the day of Qiyam. If we're going to change it now, we can imagine the next generation and next generation, what they are going to do with the deen now. Sooner or later now, it's going to become a whole movie in the masjid. Already, the cameras are there. The cameras are there. And to come onto the camera, you know the amount of makeup that people have to put. Before we know it now, the masjid will have a makeup room also. It's going to happen. We'll have a makeup room. What do you call it? Backstage rooms and everything else. Where the alim, before he comes on now, we'll all have to meet there. Because the makeup artist over there, we can't just go like that now. Because the cameras are rolling. It's all going to happen. And then who are you going to employ? The ladies are going to come in now. We need makeup artists. It's already happening. As soon as he's going to come to the masjid also, one of the jamaat room. He said, no place for jamaat room, we need a makeup room right now. And then it's going to happen. And then backstage rooms will meet you, that apa, so long she's following you now on the YouTube, finally she got a chance to meet you. And she'll come and meet you in the backstage room. He'll be there waiting for you. Allah Ta'ala protect. Deen is going to become a show entertainment right now. It's going to become a big movie. It's going to become like that. Allah Ta'ala protect us. What is going that way already, or there's one masala on photography. All these evils will happen. And many years ago, this thing did happen, where there was a co-darulums already started, one, two darulums in the world. We don't like talking about it. Where this co-education darulum, boys and girls sitting together. Why? Because it's a non-gender place. You're not male, you're not female. What you are? Confused. Well, sitting together, studying Quran and Hadith. The nafs will like all these things. And those ulama that say photography is haram, if you really think about it, they would like to say it's halal because they get popular also. Why not? Let's open it. Good for us too. We can open a YouTube channel. We can become popular and famous. We can have some people following us. Why not? We can get to the masses, to more people. So there's a lot of benefit for them if they open it up too. So you can understand the level of the sincerity. We don't need this. We got the original way, the sunnah tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's keep it like that. It is going to happen. It is going to happen where, and it already happened, it's happening already, where many, many masturat and women which are soft-hearted when it comes to deen, many of them now have become diehards of certain ulama. Diehards of certain ulama. We heard some car guzaris, an old woman, over 80 years old, telling another woman. She says that a certain channel I've got in my home every day from this time to that time. Say, one Moli Sahab comes onto the big screen. And she told her, make sure you subscribe to that program. So she asked Gujarati, who karwa, who cheta? What's on that program? She said, hey, Moli Sahab, che, etlo ro paro che. Etlo ro paro che. That Moli Sahab is so handsome. Over 80 years old, she's maftuna. She fell into fitna at that age. Say, so ro paro he is, you must see. My husband knows that time, don't trouble me. That's my program now. That's where her iman is gone now. Where he's stuck. So people don't realize this, my dear brothers, that sooner or later they lose their wives also and daughters. It's going to happen like this. And if they meet their Moli Sahab in the check mart or check safe, they're going to go for autograph after that. They have a problem then. You heard his qiraat, you heard his nazam, you heard his bayan, and now we can meet him. You become a cult after that. It's already happening. You become a cult. Deen is simple. Inna deena yusrun. إِنَّ الْبَذَاذَةَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ Simplicity is part of Iman. So deen is very simple and straightforward. We're not mukallaf of the hidayat of people, obligated for the hidayat. We are obligated to make the effort of hidayat in the correct manner. Allah will give the hidayat. Allah will give the hidayat. Or there will be a deen that will come, which is a different type of a deen. Or they can call it deen in Islam, but it's a different type of a deen now. You see, so there's a whole move going towards that way now. Because when Dajjal will come, his so-called deen of Islam he'll bring will be based all upon seeing. He'll show you Jannat, he'll show you Jahannam, he'll show you miracles. Now he's so accustomed, and he's a virtual world. He'll be showing you a virtual world. It's not real. It's a fake. He's showing you Jannah, but he's playing tricks with your eyes, mesmerism. And he said, come into my Jannat. Believe in me, I'm your God. He said, I believe in you. Look at this place. Look at this place. Now he's so accustomed already, youngsters are playing these games with that. What do you call that thing now? Huh? VR, whatever it is now, it's a virtual world. They're getting used to it. When Dajjal will come and show them another picture, they say, Subhanallah. We never saw this in our life before. He said, come. Believe in me. And sometimes we see these games advertising, what the god of war or the god of something like that. And the youngsters play the game. God of this or the Lord of this and that. Lord is Allah. But they still play. So when he will come to, he will say, I'm the Lord of so and so. Come into my paradise. And he's so used to it, he's going to enter, not knowing that it's Jahannam actually. That is Jahannam actually. So the whole mindset is already being rolled out already for Dajjal when he will come. You see, so if I can't resist now from subscribing and not going online, I can't stop myself. Imagine when he will come now. I can't stop now myself from watching the football where the aura and the satar is showing. I can't resist now these simple things. It's effort for me to go on to these things. But I can't resist. So imagine when he will come now, full da'wat open, internationally. Now we see a little bit of the World Cup. People can't resist. Have to go there. Well, Moli Sahab told me he went. He says, Moli Sahab, I just want to tell you, the thrill you get is something else. It's something. I said, because the heart is inclined towards these things. The heart is blocked. So already, the hype there, that those that are not there already feel a little bit of that hype. So we came with Dajjal will come now, and his sports and his entertainment and his whatever channels, etc. It'll be mind-boggling. What is come with? People, they have the open-air concerts, etc. People just want to go, just go see it at least. Before the old days, just go see the Christmas lights, just to see lights only. Imagine now what he'll come with. What shows and shows he'll come with now. Right? What type, we hear the youngsters speaking now, different apps, they're watching movies and some flicks or something. Like, they can't get off it. The next one is getting more thrilling than the last one. It's like, we didn't see it, like the heart is pulling, jumping out of the body. Imagine when he'll come with this channel now. What type of movies, whether it's 5K or 4K, and what do you call these things now, like you're part of it now. How are you going to not subscribe to it when I'm so used to subscribing and having a look at it? There's all a test of Iman right now. All a test of Iman. And you can imagine now, when he will come possibly with his Dini movies, which actors he's going to hire? Because already, certain tabqa of ulama, they're already on. So, there'll be the cast of it now. Allah protect us. But for 1400 years, it was haram. Now everything is, nothing is left haram now. There's all tweaking it this way, that way, this way, that way. So the original deen, Allah Ta'ala protect our progenies to come. What they'll understand of Sharia and deen. What they'll understand of it, Allah knows best. That's why we've got to keep it to the original, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. Anything else? The masturat, my Munir is asking now, what do we do with the masturat? Here we're sitting in the company of ulama-i karam, etc. So, what do we do with the masturat? They must sit in your company. They must sit in your company. Halqa of ta'lim. We have to get the mood. We have to subtly, nicely, targheeb, muhabbat, and love. You see, in the home, we have to have ta'lim. Very, very important. The 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes ta'lim, even they don't sit. One Karaguzari came about one of our Jamaat Sathis, very senior in Jamaat, and always Allah Ta'ala will test the person, the father was pious. He'll always be tested with his wife or his children. It must happen. Shaitan makes his effort also. They won't give with him. Not all families will give together. But he went to the Akabir and he asked them, what do I do now? My daughter grew up at my home, knowing the effort of Da'wat and Tabligh and Jamaat, everything. Now she's got friends, she's going to the club. She's become a dancer in the club. Inna lillahi. No way to it. You carry on ta'lim in the house. You the father, you the head of the house. You come to renew your ta'lim. For 40 days without a break. First day he began at supper time, daughter came down, what's this? The ta'lim, I'm not interested. Not interested, so she left, she went away. 2 days, 3 days, 5 days. So supper time, she had to come and eat. She would come later, then she came supper time, but she sat there, she blocked her ears. I don't want to hear. But he continued with muhabbat, love, left the door open, continued the ta'lim. Allah Ta'ala will give hidayat sooner or later. By the 40th day, she went into parda and hijab. Life changed. The words of Allah, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, are heavy, are weighty. So we have to start ta'lim with him and encourage him, go for the ladies' program, go for the ladies' program, go for the ladies' program. So we have to give them targheeb, encouragement. We need so much of encouragement ourselves. But they also need it. They also need the encouragement. But unfortunately, as nowadays it's become a woman's world, we take them everywhere. They want to go everywhere. So we explain to them, we're going here, there. One program and then we go for ta'lim also. But to carry on encouraging them. To go for the ta'lim programs. Jamaats are coming. Engage with jamaat. So we have to take them out in the path of Allah. Make that effort with them also. And slowly their hearts will change, inshallah. But the ta'lim has to take place at home. That's the most important thing for the masturat at home is the ta'lim. So that we have to implement it, we have to do it. Even if they don't sit, but you sit and you read the kitab, inshallah. The environment in the house will change, Allah Ta'ala will affect their hearts. Allah, somebody has to make the qurbani. For hidayah to come alive, somebody has to be the foundation of sacrifice in the house. So somebody has to make the qurbani. So sooner or later, Allah will give the hidayah, inshallah. According to Muhaddisin, when it comes to the Qabr and the vision of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, according to some Muhaddisin, they say that all the barriers between his Qabr and the Qabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all it will be removed. And you'll see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in reality. So most of the Muhaddisin say this is how it will be in the Qabr. So you'll see. See anything else, inshallah? سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك ونتوب اليك. Tomorrow we're thinking for tomorrow program after Zuhr. We do practical demonstration of Salah, inshallah. So tomorrow after Zuhr, instead of the kitab, we'll do Salah, how to get our Salah right. Salah is the most important ibadat. If Salah is correct, ulama says Salah is correct, your whole life will become correct. There's weakness in Salah. Salah is the main thing. لِيَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَلَى made us for ibadat. The highest form of ibadat is salah. Salah is the main thing in a mu'min's life. That has to be perfected. Allah wants perfection in salah. If salah is correct, then this will spill over into all our domestic life. That will become correct also, inshallah. So tomorrow after Zuhr salah, we'll do demonstration of salah, inshallah. JazakAllah. Acha, one more thing for those in i'tikaf, etc. brothers, anytime they need any time, usually they might think, I'm in the room there, so nobody's allowed to come in the room. The room is open for anybody, anytime, inshallah. Is that khas or specific for anybody at any time? Usually after Zuhr, brothers want to come make mashwara or sit and talk, etc. Sometimes people might feel that, you know what, Ustaz is one corner there, something special there, you can't go over there. It's open for anybody anytime, inshallah. Just ask me anytime, we can sit, we can talk, any mashwara. People want to spend time, whatever it is, can just knock the door. Just ask me for time. Everybody's welcome, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accept.